what was it tonight that seemed like you were not using your jab enough? What was it, the way he was defending you most of the night?
No, I just think he had a pretty good jab. He had a pretty good jab. It was rangy. It was throwing my timing off a little bit, and I think that was the key in the fight, his jab. But that's pretty much it. Everything else, I was adapted to it. I knew he was going to go to the body. I knew he was going to throw his looping left hands. But his jab was a little better than I expected.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I don't think there was a punch last night that Errol Spence threw. And I'm not talking about every punch that he threw, but I mean the various punches through hooks, right hands, left hands. In other words, I thought he hit Danny with everything he had. I mean, not super hard. He's not the greatest puncher in the world. 21 KOs and 27 wins indicates he can punch. But last night, Danny Garcia didn't show up. I mean, the bottom line is you have to go for it. I keep stressing this over and over again. Of course, size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. And when you have the size disadvantage against you and you have the speed going against you, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to go there and try to test this guy's speed? You can't be countering him. He wasn't Roberto Duran trying to counter Sugar Ray Leonard last night. He was like just a guy trying to go the 12 rounds and make some money. Danny was trying to make the money. Danny went for the money, was no doubt about it. Spence, as I said, 27 zip, 21 KOs. Here's what he said post-fight.
Errol, Danny said he thought the jab controlled the fight tonight. What made that so effective, and did you expect that to be as successful as it was throughout the evening?
It was just, just common sense, basically. I mean, I was the taller person. He had the shorter arms, and, I always had a great jab, so... So that's what we was working on. We were working on using the jab, setting everything up with the jab, and basically just outpointing him. I did well using my jab.
Everyone was wondering how you were going
to be really proud of me. I think Lennox Lewis would be really proud of me using my jab like the way I did.
Right. A lot of folks were wondering how you were going to take a punch after the accident. Is there one tonight that maybe you were proud of how well you were able to respond?
No, because I had a, 10, 12-week training camp where I was sparring. So, I mean, I was taking the punches in sparring, so I wasn't, surprised. I was taking a punch in a fight because, it was, something that, I've been taking. So I wasn't surprised at all, and I always had a great chin.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jeremy Harridges. Jeremy, you can unmute yourself and ask your question.
How would you appraise your performance? How would you rate yourself?
I give myself a B. I think I had a little bit of ring rust in there, but, I think I was just in such great shape and had a great training camp and took everything serious where, I can overwhelm, I can just not be discouraged by, me having ring rust and things like that. So, I feel like just working my jab and using my angles and boxing, was the best move, and that's what I basically did.
Obviously, everyone's talking about Terrence Crawford. Is that a legitimate chance of happening, or do you guys feel like you're miles and miles apart?
I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about, seeing my kids tomorrow and sitting on my ranch and finally riding my horses after 10, 12 weeks and, just chilling out and eating some good food. So we'll see what holds in the future. But right now, just to enjoy myself, I had a long year and a half, to come back and, work hard, train hard, and it just was 120% focused. And I'm going to wind down for like a week or two till I get back on the ball.
Errol Spence, of course, the reigning WBC and IBF 147-pound title holder, a winner last night. The scores were 116-112 twice. That's 8-4 in rounds, 117-111. I thought 8-4 in rounds was quite a bit. Was a bit generous to the lad from Philadelphia. Now, on the line from Santa Monica is the man himself. I'm talking about the retired HBO Godfather. Larry Merchant, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm pretty good. And by the way, once upon a time, I was a lad from Philadelphia.
Yeah, I know. But you also that's where you sort of sprang to fame. I mean, if I remember right from what you've told me over the years, is that you went to work at the Philadelphia Daily News or the Enquirer, one or the other, as a photo boy, and then you moved your way up to sports editor, and then you became like soon the godfather at HBO.
Well, after spending 10 years in New York writing a column, but. I still feel a certain kind of visceral affection for things from Philadelphia, and especially their fighters. And I've always thought that Danny Garcia was a pretty good fighter, a pretty good Philadelphia fighter, but they don't produce them the way they used to.
Godfather, when you're faced against a guy that's so much bigger than you, and I mean, you've got these insurmountable odds physically against you,
right.
You have to do something dramatic. You have to go for it. I remember what Ray Leonard told me when we were like comparing ankles in a hot tub in Florida one time. He told me the difference between a good fighter and a great fighter is the willingness to gamble. There were fights where I fought guys who were much bigger than me, and if I didn't do stuff that was extraordinary, I wasn't going to win.
As Ali used to say, it's great to want to be great. I don't know how many prize fighters are willing to scale that mountain.
I guess you got a point there. And you know, I was watching last night, they had a 6'6" junior middleweight on the undercard, and he won pretty easily. Of course, he was a guy who was like a foot taller than the other guy. But I was thinking about that, fighting a 6'6" guy. Good Lord, Godfather. I mean, you and I aren't the biggest guys in the world. Imagine a 6'6" super welterweight.
Yeah, he can throw jabs while sitting on his stool.
All right. Now, I don't want to sound like a killjoy or anything like that, but how come I'm not all excited about Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence fighting if they do fight? I mean, why am I just an old curmudgeon now?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
It's okay to be a curmudgeon.
Okay.
But that fight, to me, is one of the fights that any boxing fan would want to see. Two undefeated welterweights in their primes. Still, to settle it for once and all.
Good point.
I don't know how badly their promoters want the fight because somebody's going to lose. But maybe the fight's so good that they do it one or two more times. But that's a must-make and must-see fight.
But both promoters are sort of confident in their guys, which is sort of cool. Bob Arum wants the Errol Spence fight, you know, and the Premier Boxing Champions, of course, they would like the Crawford fight. I think they're going to put that together. Of course, they're doing – I'll say one thing. Al Haymon's doing some politicking. He's got Canelo Alvarez under his fold temporarily, at least for one fight.
Well, if he can find a way to pay the kid who's used to eight-figure payoffs, good for him. That's what the marketplace dictates these days.
Harvard graduate Al Haymon. Can you tell me anything about Haymon? Do you know anything about Al Haymon? Is he the mystery man of boxing or what?
Well, I think, you know, he managed and agented for a number of entertainers before he got into boxing.
Okay.
And I guess he was successful in part because he was willing to stay in the background and be the polar opposite of Don King and let the glory and the attention settle on the shoulders of the fighters, and in that way create something that might be a star.
Godfather, I think I might have to disagree with you there because I think Al Haymon might be in the witness protection program. We never see pictures of him ringside. We never see pictures of him. I mean, there's like three pictures of him in the entire internet.
Well, I saw him a number of times when I was at HBO. If he had a fighter, particularly a fighter who's had some problems outside the ring, which is not unusual with fighters, he would come to the fighter meetings and sit there as a kind of editor. And if we got into certain kinds of stuff, he would jump in and try to protect his fighter and so on and so forth. That's the only time you would see him around the fights.
Yeah. Before we go to the break, sort of reminds me of the time Hulk Hogan was in the midst of that steroid scandal, and I cornered him at a press conference in Las Vegas and asked him some questions, and his agent starts screaming at me, "How dare you ask him any questions?" I go, "This is a press conference. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. HBO Godfather's in the house to talk about Mr. Patricia Merchant." Did I get that right? Yes, I did. Anyway, bottom line is Larry's in the house. We'll spend some time with Larry up until about 40 minutes past the hour. If you want to spend some time with us on the toll-free, you can, 1-800-878-7529, or via the text, 415-275-1613. The guilt-free text line, once again, 415-275-1613. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Well, you have to talk to my lawyer on that one.
This week there was a full moon known as the Beaver Moon, which can be seen about a month after a waxing moon.
That's a good joke. That's a good one.
Insiders are saying that producers for the Broadway hit Hamilton are planning to reopen the show on July 4th, hopefully with some goddamn white actors this time.
Drake has released a line of scented candles that smell like him. And unfortunately, so has DJ Khaled. Doctors in China removed more than 120 magnetic beads swallowed by a 5-year-old boy. Wow. Wait till his boss at the factory hears about this. Sorry.
Firefighters in Florida rescued a horse that fell into a septic tank and was nearly submerged in raw sewage. A horse submerged in raw sewage is also known as an Arby's beef and cheddar.
Arby's, we eat the horse.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He's got a crazy gas tank, crazy gas tank.
Gotta have a little SNL humor. Michael Che, Colin Jost. I saw Colin in a theater up in Northern California about a year ago. Man, what an act he put on as far as his stand-up material is concerned. And he's one of the richest guys in the world, believe me. His family's rich and he married into money, so like he's a double billionaire. Just like my guy on the line, Larry Merchant, a double billionaire except
right.
In knowledge, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Let's talk about the world at large right now. We've got this COVID thing running crazy. The California governor is going to shut everything down during Christmas season, and you know, and I'm pro shut it down because I want to snuff this thing out. I don't want the hospitals going crazy and people dying in the waiting rooms and things like that. And that's what I don't think everybody seems to understand. People think, you know, their rights are being taken away. I heard people screaming at me this morning, Pedro, you know what you're talking about. I said, you don't know what you're talking about because if the hospitals get full and we can't put people in hospital beds, where are they going to go?
Well, smarter people than me have to figure that out. But I agree with you that, you know, we have to close the show. We've gone through this for more than half a year, and we just have to hunker down and beat this thing. And I understand people want to get out and about and work, and that's why it's called a crisis, that you have to make these bad choices, but you must make them and get over it.
Godfather, a lot of small businesses, including maybe my own, might fail or go under in that. Do you think the government has some type of obligation to help people out? Because, you know, these PPP loans, I think the Trump administration got a bunch of them for their hotels, but most small businesses in California didn't get those loans and went to corporations.
Well, hopefully in the next round that will be partially corrected. When there's a lot of money out, public money out there, corporations, banks, whatever, always seem to have first divvies, as we used to say. but they employ a lot of people as well. So it's, these are hard choices. Who gets the vaccine first or second or third? Who gets the public money to help them through this pandemic? There are guys who get paid big bucks or guys who get paid small bucks trying to figure this thing out. And nobody knows because we haven't gone through a major pandemic in a century.
But you know, when we had the polio issues and when I was a kid, you know, the federal government made sure that we got the polio vaccines. They put it together and they put programs together. There's no program put together as far as the COVID's concerned. We're like 9 months into this. And I know we're in transition between presidents and things like that. And that sort of adds to my worries.
Well, you know, these things, these kinds of COVID epidemics are a lot different than some previous ones, which were solved by scientists. Jonas Salk, for example, with the polio. But now we're talking about a country that's two to three times bigger than it was in those days, and a COVID-19 that has not been seen before, and so they're trying to figure it out. They want to figure it out as much as we want them to. And hopefully on the vast scale of our country, almost 350 million people, they can organize this and get us back to work.
Yeah, it is a bit crazy, but you know, as I cruised through San Francisco the other night, last night, most of the sidewalk restaurants and this and that are really packed. I mean, there was not, I'm talking about elbow to elbow, but they were closer than I would have felt comfortable. I don't know. The outdoor dining thing, you know, I got a little paranoid about that because there's people talking loud and they're all around you and this and that, and there's still,
right.
You know, so there's nothing, there was nothing real, it was a little safer than dining inside, but it wasn't safe per se.
You know, we had an engagement with two friends to come for dinner last night with our doors wide open and the breeze coming in and so on and so forth. And yesterday morning, my wife and I, Patricia and I, decided, you know, let's just skip this. This isn't a good idea, and we want to engage with our friends and relatives as much as anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we called the dinner off, and they, our guests, seemed as happy that we called it off before they did. So I, you know, we've just decided we're going to be safer than sorrier.
You know, a couple of friends of mine are not swinging that way. I mean, I don't want to name them, but they're just not swinging that way, and they're telling me that I'm full of spit and this and that, blah blah blah. And you know, I I'll bring this up. I was going to do a concert with a DJ that was a retired DJ and bring him back as far as a mix was concerned. And he was a pastor locally, and he ran a church. And we were talking about doing this card in June, and of course we canceled it because of the show in June because we canceled because of COVID. And then he told me he was going to open up his church to live people again. And this was a few months ago, and I told him, I won't mention his name. I said, listen, man, you're nuts. You're absolutely out of your mind. He goes, no, man, God will protect me. Well, now he's on a ventilator in the hospital. His wife has it. Both of his kids have it, and most of his flock has it. Godfather, what can I say?
That says it all. It's not going to happen in every instance, but the odds are lowered that something can happen when you go to group events. And, hey, what is it, 15 or 20 people from the White House have had brushes with COVID and COVID itself. You would think they knew better.
But don't you think they're getting better drugs than us?
Perhaps. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, Godfather, so with you guys being in solitary confinement for the next week, I guess, do you and Patricia fight when you're in solitary confinement? Do you guys go to your corners and, like, glove up?
No, Patricia spends a lot of time upstairs, and I spend a lot of time downstairs.
Well, say hello to the lady upstairs for me. Give her my best. Of course, the holidays are coming up. We've got all kinds of good holidays coming up. Of course, the holiday season amongst us. Godfather, I wish you the very best. And what can I say? Week in and week out, there wouldn't be Ring Talk without Larry Merchant. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and so do all the listeners.
Thank you, Pedro, and thank you, listeners, for me.
And before I go, we did play Taps yesterday for a relative of yours.
Well, that is very sweet of you.
Okay, I'm talking about Ella Merchant. She passed away this past week. Of course, Larry's sister, 83 years old, 83 years young. We can never miss our people enough. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Have a mother for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. Look here.